It was an emotional day in Japan today. Secretary of State John Kerry called his historic visit to Hiroshima gut-wrenching. Kerry is the first Secretary of State to visit the Japanese city, where 140,000 people died when an American plane dropped an atomic bomb there in 1945. The bomb forced Japan to surrender and brought World War II to an end. Kerry laid a wreath at the site of the bombing and also visited the nearby museum, which tells the personal stories of those who were killed. He later spoke in a news conference.
Hiroshima's legacy is one of rebirth and resilience. It is a tribute to the human spirit.
Shihoko Goto is Senior Northeast Asia Associate at the Woodrow Wilson Center. She's with us now from Washington. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the significance of this visit by John Kerry.
Well, as you said, he is the first Secretary of State of the United States to visit Hiroshima, which is effectively ground zero for Japan's memories of World War II. And now President Obama will be visiting Japan in May as part of the G7 summit meeting. And now expectations are high that Obama, too, will follow in Kerry's footsteps and become the first president of the United States to visit Hiroshima.
And how would Japanese people feel about that, to have President Obama go to that same site?
Well, if we look at how Kerry's visit has been assessed by the Japanese media, it has certainly been welcomed. There are, of course, those Japanese who say that Kerry should have apologized for Japan, the United States bombing Japan. But by and large, the public perception is that Kerry set the right tone. He was respectful, and he was very empathetic towards the plight of the victims. And if Obama were to go, we would expect him to follow suit.
Well, there are polls out in the United States that show most Americans still believe the use of the atomic bomb was justified. Most Japanese people believe that it was not, perhaps not surprisingly. You mentioned this idea of having Secretary Kerry apologize. Is that something that the Japanese want, an apology?
I think most Japanese actually just want to move forward. Of course, there are a minority that do want an apology, but by and large, people want to move forward. And what do I mean by that? Japan really wants to project itself as having learnt the lessons of World War II. And the biggest lesson of all is that it was the victim of not one, but two nuclear bombs in the world. It remains the world's only victim of nuclear bombs. And therefore, it has a special role to play in promoting nuclear disarmament in the world. Mm. And that really dovetails nicely with what Obama has been promoting since he became president.
Right. Part of his legacy, for sure. And that also goes into what John Kerry also said today, that the world should learn from what happened at Hiroshima. How does that resonate in Japan, where you have not far away North Korea upping its rhetoric on missile launches and also on its own efforts to develop a bomb?
Right. There is a dichotomy in the Japanese mentality at the moment. On the one hand, Japan is very aware that it is in a very dangerous neighborhood. There is not only the nuclear aspirations of North Korea, but also the rapid militarization of China as well. And it remains very heavily dependent on U.S. engagement in the region. It actually only has a self-defense force, and it is a formidable force, but nonetheless, constitutionally, it is unable to use its forces outside of its own borders except for pure defense purposes. Efforts to up that ante have really been rejected by the public. So there is this feeling that the United States and Japan really do need to work together to ensure security in the region, which continues to be very fragile.
Hmm. The parliament, the Japanese parliament, has approved a change to its constitution that would allow the Japanese military to fight overseas, something that, as you say, very controversial, something that not everyone feels comfortable with after what happened in World War II. Where are we on that? I mean, is there still a sense that that's up for debate in Japan?
Well, the debate ended with the conclusion that the constitution cannot be reinterpreted. This constitution is a legacy of U.S. occupation of Japan immediately after World War II. The Japanese actually had no say in the constitution. Nevertheless, the Japanese have really adopted it as their own. And it states clearly that Japan cannot have its own, it cannot play defense, it cannot play offense, I'm sorry. But now that there is this reinterpretation of the Constitution and redefining what does it mean to defend one's own borders? Can it be done collectively? Can it be done with other countries as well? Right now, the answer is yes, but it continues to rile a lot of people, especially at the grassroots level.
Yeah. Well, we're going to follow this this story as it continues. Shihoko Goto is a senior Northeast Asia associate at the Wilson Center's Asia program. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.